And all things gardening time is here. I'm Mary Angish, the producer, and Charlie Nardozzi is here to share his brains all about flowers and gardening and all kinds of houseplant info. Welcome, Charlie.
Thank you, Mary. It's good to talk flowers.
Yes. You want to share more about a particular houseplant, though, called the Clivia, which I'm actually not familiar at all with this. I don't think I am. Do I know this houseplant?
You might. Okay. You see it in garden centers. Yeah. You see it in nurseries. And you may see it in people's homes, too. Yeah. It's actually pronounced Clivia.
Okay, maybe that's why I don't know what the heck it is.
You've been looking for Clivia, and it's really the Clivia.
I'm asking for the wrong plant.
It comes from South Africa, and when a botanist brought it back to England back in the 1800s, he started growing it in Lady Clive's conservatory. And so she got the honor of having her name associated with it, Clivia. So it has black strap-like leaves. Looks kind of like an amaryllis that way. A beautiful plant on a table, and it'll just stay nice and dark green all year round. But the real calling card for this plant is the flowers. And usually late spring or so, it'll send up a stalk with normally orange-colored flowers. That's the common variety of that. But there are a lot of new varieties out there now. A lot of them bred at Longwood Gardens down in Pennsylvania. So you can get a peach-colored variety or a yellow-colored variety or a pink-colored variety now, too. Those, of course, are more expensive because they're rare. When they first came out, they were like $300 a plant. That was outrageous. Now they're down to around $50 a plant. And I just checked before I got online. The orange-colored ones are not so expensive, and they're beautiful. So the key with growing Clivia, it's a really low-maintenance plant, but the key to growing it is to make sure it gets a rest period. And that would be from October to January. It likes a long rest period. So you want to put it in a cool place. It could be a three-season porch or a room that stays cool, like in the 40s or so, in the fall. Of course, you don't want it to go below freezing. That would not be good for it. And also, you want to stop watering it. So don't water it from October to mid-January. Now, you can water it if it looks like the plant is really wilting, but otherwise, just leave it. And what that does is that initiates that flower stalk to form, and so that by April or May, the flower stalk comes up, and you get the beautiful orange or whatever color flowers from that variety. If you see your flower stalk get stuck in the middle, it doesn't really elongate, that's probably because it wasn't cool enough or it didn't have enough dormant period to do that. So it's a great houseplant to have because even when it's not flowering with those beautiful, bright-colored flowers, it's just a nice green plant to have in there. And I like the idea of not having to water it. How about that?
Huh? Yeah, me too. That's a perfect plant for my house. I never remember. Here's a question from Nancy in Salem. It's another listener question with an inquiry about, you know, how to coexist with critters. Nancy writes, thanks for your gardening blog. Great help as always. Please provide help to keep rabbits from eating all my vegetable plants. I'm trying to garden with grandchildren, and rabbits are hard to discourage.
Yes, it is. They are cute, those little bunnies, but they can make a mess in your garden. So there's two solutions for you. And one would be doing fencing. So if it's a vegetable garden that is a compact area, you might want to invest in some fence. And it could be just like a small, short fence, and 3 feet tall is fine. You have to make sure, though, that the holes in the fence and the wire fence are pretty small, because even the bigger bunnies I've seen, they can squeeze through these little, like, chicken wire holes that are in those fences. So make sure they're small enough. And then the other thing to do with the fence is dig down when you put it in and bend it so you create an apron facing away from the garden, kind of like an L shape. And then you can cover that apron with bark mulch or put some grass seed or things, whatever, on it. The idea is that when the bunnies come up to the fence, they're going to hit the fence, and their instinct is to dig down underneath it. If they hit more fence, then they'll go somewhere else. So that's the simple thing. Now, if you can't do a fence, you can use repellent sprays. And any of the repellent sprays that are used for deer, like Plant Skid and Deer Off and a lot of the different brands that are out there, they will work for rabbits. The key, though, is to keep spraying it. That's one thing that people forget. I do that myself. When our spring flowering bulbs come up and bunnies get in our garden and they munch them down because I spray them when they first come out of the ground, and then a week later, I kind of forget about them. And they've already grown some more, and there's new growth, and that's not protected. So make sure you spray on a regular schedule to keep the bunnies from eating them.
Two gardens, one for the rabbits and one for the humans?
Well, there's that, too. You can grow some clover. They love clover. And put that in your lawn, and they'll just hang out in the lawn eating clover, and maybe they'll leave your flowers alone.
I like that idea. If you've got questions for Charlie about your garden or houseplants, then send them to us, gardening@vermontpublic.org. And listen to this wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary. And I'll be seeing you in the garden.